Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Guys,
good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Key. Good
morning,
Key.
Hey.
So we took a little time away from the subject of DeMar Hamlin over the last hour or so. Talked a little football but DeMar is never far from our thoughts, especially at this moment. When he's not out of the woods, you know. His uncle, Dorian Glenn, spoke to Coley Harvey last night, and we're going to, on the 7 o'clock Sports Center, and gave a little update on DeMar's health. And here's DeMar's uncle.
It's kind of just like they're day to day. He's improving from where he was yesterday. And, we're just going to continue to pray. And I know that he's in great hands with the medical team he has here. They've been doing a tremendous job just helping him with his recovery. I'm just happy that he's still here to fight. He's still here. He still has a chance to get better. He still has a chance to continue to be the positive impact that he's been on the community. And, I found a lot of blessings within that.
And by the way, every single caller, I think, maybe just about every one of them, and we've taken a bunch today on topics, you know, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and coaches and stuff, and almost everyone starts with prayers up to DeMar Hamlin. And, you know, when something like this happens to a player who's not very well known to the entire sporting public, people start to find out about the guy. And what you find out about DeMar Hamlin is everyone loves him. The NFL said the game Bills-Bengals, where the injury occurred, where DeMar Hamlin, the safety for the Bills, tackled T. Higgins, the receiver for the Bengals, and after the play stood up and then looked woozy and fell straight on his back. He was in cardiac arrest, given CPR on the field for many minutes or multiple minutes, and then eventually taken to a nearby hospital where he is in critical condition. The NFL said that game, Bengals-Bills, which was in the first quarter, will not be resumed this week. The NFL said in a statement that Commissioner Roger Goodell informed the teams that the game would not be resumed this week after consulting with both teams and NFL Players Association leadership. The league, however, has made no decision on resuming the game at a later date. The league said in a statement that it has not made any changes to the Week 18 regular season schedule. Quote, the NFL continues to be in regular contact with the medical team caring for DeMar Hamlin and also the Bills and Bengals organization and the NFL Players Association. That's what the league said in a statement. Guys, Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL Insider, was on the 6 o'clock Sports Center last night and reported the following.
Well, the league tells me, again, Brian McCarthy, spokesperson for the league, says, as we announced today, we are focused on playing Week 18 as scheduled. So they've also made clear to every team that they do have, you know, counselors on hand. They have all sorts of different things in place for these teams, for these players. But ultimately, they do plan on keeping the schedule going through this weekend. So there are these little scheduling things that the league will still have to do. But ultimately, at this point, we see very clearly where their priorities are, but they are still saying, though, that all-encompassing, on a macro level, the games this weekend are still scheduled to be played.
What do you think about that, Key, that they play? I mean, I don't know what you do exactly. I'm not claiming to have the answer, but what do you think about the fact that they are, Week 18 is as usual, with the exception of, we'll see what happens with the Bills.
You know, there's so much that has to be put in to make changes and decisions. This is still very fresh. And when you look at it, there's scheduling, there's obviously networks, the TV situation. And then you say, what else in our country in particular, whenever we have something that come up that said, important crisis or whatever the case is, we tend to turn to sports for healing. So when you look at that, it's like, what else do we expect for the league to do? Maybe push the season back into that bye week or that off week leading into the Super Bowl. But then you start to look at some of the logistics on doing those sort of things and how could they pull that off? They've been able to play games in the past when certain situation has come up, they've been able to alter the schedules, and maybe they're looking at trying to figure out how to do that as we speak right now.
You know, I didn't get a chance to say this yesterday, but I just wanted to give a shout out and prayers to Buffalo too. I mean, we've talked a lot about DeMar Hamlin. We will continue to talk about DeMar Hamlin and his family, and they deserve all of our prayers and attention too. But in the last several months, I mean, we've had a racist act of terrorism at a grocery store that took 10 lives. We've had the blizzard that came through, that storm that took 40 lives, and now this.
Been through a lot, city, that community.
That community has been through a lot. And now seeing them gather around this, you know, Key, there are a lot of times I come to the table as it relates to the NFL thinking what they should do. I think your perspective is based a little bit more in the reality because of your experience with what the NFL will do. I think the NFL probably will continue to play their games this weekend. I'm not saying that other people weren't affected, but that's a lot of logistics in trying to move a lot of things around, even though I think you could, like I said earlier, just push it back a week. But I still come back to the Bills organization. So if the league wants to continue to play, okay. But the Bills players in particular, if some players decided to stay and in Cincinnati and be by the side, not knowing what to do with their teammate in DeMar Hamlin, and as we talked about with Kimberly Martin earlier, this is all fluid. So even if they're meeting, because they flew back to Buffalo, were being focused on DeMar and his family and trying to get answers, you're still not focusing on your opponent that's coming up this weekend. So you're still at a disadvantage because you're so fixated on your brother. And that's not a teammate. This is your brother that you watch CPR being performed on in the middle of the field in which the game was stopped. So I don't know how that team in particular, those players, are just able to work through that in the course of a week.
I have a larger thought about this than, or a thought that encompasses a couple of different ideas we've discussed today. Key talked earlier about how essentially, and we discussed how in an earlier era, before increasing player empowerment, they just would have continued to play the game, right? And it was the players and coaches who led to that game being postponed, if not canceled, Monday night. Because the league, as the reporting's come out, it looks like the league was following their lead. And Key was talking about how the world has changed, and one of the ways is player empowerment. And I said yesterday, Key, that a lot of people want to point fingers at the NFL and get mad, or players get mad at pundits who think about things other than DeMar Hamlin right away, like the implications on the NFL season, et cetera. Or maybe they get mad at fans, or fans get mad. People get mad generally because when something like this happens, you feel disempowered, right? What can you do? And so anger re-empowers you, and it always has to focus on someone. And so people point, bad NFL, or bad this, bad that. I just want to say something about that. You're right, Jay. The NFL probably is just going to proceed with the season. And that doesn't make it, businesses are not moral or immoral. They're amoral. Their point is to make money. The NFL's point is to make money, right? And they don't want to interrupt that. They don't want to disrupt it. But what disciplines a business is the consumer. Consumer can discipline the business. And I wonder how sensitive the NFL is to the kind of prevailing feelings about DeMar and whether, the wisdom in just continuing without making some accommodations to the players right now and what they must be going through, all the players who have to suit up on Sunday. I wonder, Key, you're probably right. They'll, as Jay would say, you look at it more realistically, they'll proceed. But I wonder how much things have changed and if it wouldn't be wise maybe to back things up a week.
Well, they're obviously the conversations will be with the NFLPA and leadership in the NFLPA along with the leadership on Park Avenue and the NFL to make that decision on what is the right thing to do. We're at Wednesday now. Games take place on Saturday. In fact, there's two games on Saturday, I do believe, and ESPN ABC are covering both of those games. So when you start to think about where we're at in the middle of the week, as I said before, some players on other teams are going to try to play and keep it out of their mind because they're not particularly on the Buffalo Bills. They're not in the locker room every single day with the Bills and their players. Same thing with New England. New England's not. They have to play against Buffalo, but it's not that they're not in Orchard Park. They're not in that building. They still feel it. They still may feel a certain way and nervous and things of that nature in thinking about Jamar. There's no question about it. But it's they're removed from it.
Yeah, it's not so, like when it happens on your team in front of your face.
Yeah, so it's a little probably a little bit easier for them to take the field on Sunday and try and figure out how to play, opposed to the Bills and the New England Patriots. Two teams that got to play against each other. Like Jay said, the Bills players are trying to focus on game planning, but yet and still, what's going on with my teammate? You're in a fog. I've been there before. I'll repeat this again. In 1997, the Detroit Lions are playing against me and my New York Jets. And Reggie Brown, a linebacker in Detroit, he goes down. They have to administer CPR to him. He's not breathing. You know, we don't know what the heck is going on. And then we had to continue the game after they removed him from the field and took him to the hospital. We got, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes to warm up, whatever it was, and we continued to play. And one of the first passes that was thrown to me, I think it was probably 3-4 plays into that game in the second, late fourth quarter, they throw me the football. My mind ain't in that. I'm like, no, I don't want it. So I'm trying to figure out how to even get my hands together to catch it. I was all over the place and because I wasn't focused in on that. I was more worried about what I just saw on the ground because I know CPR as, oh, my God, this is not a good situation when somebody is bringing somebody back to life and in right in front of your eyes. So it's a little bit different. But I think that the league and the NFLPA will certainly, you know, talk and touch the people that the players that matter that's on that leadership council to make the right decision.
All right, we're going to continue to have updates on the condition of Damar Hamlin throughout the day on ESPN Radio. We have more KJM coming up.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPNU from 6 to 10 a.m., Sirius XM Channel 80, and the ESPN app. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, are we going to see Jalen Hurts on Sunday? Nick Sirianni, Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles head coach on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It just goes back to Jalen being healthy enough to play, right? Every game's big. I mean, shoot, the last two games were big too, but Jalen wasn't quite there yet to be ready to play. If Jalen's ready to play health-wise, then we'll play him. That will always be my first requirement, is if the player is healthy enough to play and we don't put him at risk to put his body in danger just because we perceive it as a must-win.
Especially now, you know, with the player safety on the forefront of everyone's mind, given DeMar Hamlin. But here's the question, because the NFL is still tackle football. It's always going to be dangerous. There's always a high risk of injury. I saw something online today about a Harvard study from 2017 that injuries are almost three and a half times more likely in the NFL than in Major League Baseball, the European Soccer League, the NHL, and the NBA combined, right? It's a full contact sport. And Jalen Hurts, Key, you've loved Jalen Hurts from the beginning. He's having an MVP caliber year. Does he need to play? Do the Eagles need this number one seed, and does he need to play?
Well, he needs to play if he can play, right? I mean, he needs to play. They need him to win. But if he's not healthy, like Nick Sirianni said, we're not putting him out there. He can't be out there at 80%. He can't be out there at 90%. I need him to be full strength, 100%, and I trust the trainers, and I trust the medical staff. And if he's ready to go, you put him out there, and let's go. Let's get the number one seed if that's the case.
Jay?
I see Jalen Hurts playing. I think physically nobody, and I would tell you this as a basketball player, and we don't even have the sense of contact that they do in football. Nobody's really 100%. Now, I know he's coming off injury, right? But at this point of the season, I think the 100% of the mentality of who Jalen Hurts is because of the meaningfulness of the game is why I think Jalen Hurts will play. I firmly believe this. These are games that Jalen Hurts, he's built for. He's built for these type of moments, because I truly do believe, like, them having a number one seed, that's meaningful to this team for a Super Bowl run because of the advantage they would have at home. And I just, once again, I'll go back to my point about playing or establishing your best football leading into the playoffs than trying to find that sense of football when you're already in the playoffs or a guy that hasn't played two games.
Yeah, there's three teams that can get the number one seed, and that's the Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, San Francisco 49ers. Whichever team gets that number one seed, they're going to the Super Bowl. So it is important for him, if he's 100% healthy, to healthy in terms of football. You're right, Jay. Nobody's ever going to be healthy. I mean, even 20 years when you retire, you still are, you know, 60% of what you were when you started. But if he's 100%, which means that if he can go.
Go, exactly.
Then go. Because that number one seed is important. You don't want to have to go to San Francisco. You don't want to have to go back into Dallas. You want people to come to you. You want, what is it, Rocky, Sylvester Stallone, whatever, whoever it is at the top of the stadium. You want all that unnecessary Philadelphia Eagles stuff to try to help you win football games.
And even though the Giants have clinched a playoff spot and the Eagles at full strength are better than the Giants, I said from the beginning, that doesn't mean the Giants can't pop them, even with Jalen Hurts. That's a tough game. And I don't expect the Giants to ease up heading into these playoffs. I expect them to play hard. And by the way, there is, as we just showed you on the graphic, we can put that graphic back up, guys, be good. There is a scenario. Look at this. Here are the scenarios. If the Eagles beat the Giants or Dallas loses and San Francisco loses, they're the number one seed, is what has to happen in Week 18. The Niners have to win against Arizona and the Eagles have to lose. I think that's a pretty likely scenario, actually.
More likely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the
More
Cowboys.
Likely than Dallas, yeah.
Yeah. And the Cowboys need to win, and both Philly and San Francisco need to lose. Now, remember, if the Cowboys get the number one seed, they're good. They got the home game. If not, they got to go to Tampa.
Man, the Cardinals ain't beating no San Francisco.
Right. I don't see it either. But, you know, listen, it's the NFL. Strange things happen. But I, you know, it. Cowboys go to
not
Tampa,
for,
even though the matchup.
Cardinals.
The matchup favors the Cowboys because they got that pass rush, and Tampa doesn't have an offensive line. But Tom Brady in the playoffs at home against the Dallas team that always seems to fall on their face in the playoffs, if they make the playoffs?
It's about matchups, though. If the Cowboys are playing the Bucs, I doubt that they would be the underdog going into Tampa. They would probably be heavily favored because of the defensive side of the ball up against that offensive line in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it should work out that way, but Key, I'm telling you right now, if I'm a Cowboys fan, I am not sleeping easy going into to play Tom Brady, you know, first week of the playoffs on the road. And I think it's a big get. Listen, Jalen Hurts, as you said, if he can play, the Eagles really need him. Minshew's been terrible.
Yeah, you said Minshew should be a starter, didn't you?
I did. Well, once upon a time he was, but not for this, Steve. I'll tell
you
that much.
He's got a memory like an elephant, man.
Who, me? Yeah,
no, he doesn't remember any of the stuff he gets wrong. The memory is just for
I didn't say you got anything wrong. I just said you. All I said was you
yes, you
Minshew.
Did. No, I'll say it.
I didn't say you got it wrong. I just said what you said was he should be a starter in this league.
I didn't say should be. I said he's starting. He's an excellent backup.
Oh, no, boy. Or have me go find that stuff from a couple months ago.
You can find all you want. Said he's a starting caliber quarterback. No, low starter, but yeah, starting, but an excellent backup. That's right. He was a starter, but not anymore. He doesn't look like a starter anymore.
It's just like my Derek Carr was an MVP. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
PMV.
Key, by the way, you think the Cowboys get a win on the road against the Commanders?
Yeah. The Commanders have packed them. And them U-Hauls is packing up.
Okay. I just feel like that game might be a little bit more challenging.
They got them U-Hauls loaded up, boxes ready to go.
Man, it looks like the Niners have a hell of a shot to
that McCaffrey.
Different.
It's just the Niners look like the Niners are favored to win the conference now, and you could see why. They're plus 180, the Eagles plus 200, Dallas third at plus 500, and then Tampa at plus 1,000, Minnesota at plus 1,200, and Green Bay at plus 1,500.
Man, they ain't even giving the Giants a shot, huh?
I don't think the Giants can.
No.
No, they can't.
Eliminate it.
But at any rate, they're in the playoffs. Dable's first year
I think the Giants
the
could beat Minnesota.
I agree. No, yeah, but they're talking about winning the conference.
I know, but the fact that they got Minnesota in front of the Giants.
I don't think they mean once the playoffs begin. I think they mean to have like the seeding, to have the number one seed. I believe that's what that was.
No,
to win the whole conference once the playoffs start.
That was to win the whole conference. You just said it.
Yeah, no. But I'm looking at the graphic. Go to that previous graphic. This is the NFC playoff picture we're looking at now. But the previous odds to win conference,
conference.
You mean to get to the Super Bowl? Is this what this means? Or does this mean to get the number one
when
seed?
When you win the conference, you win the Super Bowl.
Yes, Max.
That's why I said the Giants.
Hold on one second.
Beat Minnesota.
Nuno's telling me, yes, it means to win the conference. What we're asking is, what does that mean? To get to the Super Bowl? Or
yes, you win the conference means
I'm
you go to the Super Bowl.
Nuno, does it mean to.
If you win the conference, what happens, Max?
Okay, so yes. It is to get to the Super Bowl. But that seeding looked
to me. We're building.
Those odds looked to me like what they meant was the number one seed, because they have San Francisco 1, Eagles 2, Cowboys 3, and that lines up with their schedules right now.
I'm going to try this one more time for you.
Yeah.
To win the conference.
Has Jim Harbaugh's tenure at Michigan been a failure?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
When Shook Ones Part 2 was playing, Mobb Deep, that could only mean one thing. On this show, that means it's Paul Feinbaum time. And we play this song, of course, because this is Paul's favorite song. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Max, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Paul.
Happy New Year to you, too, Paul.
Paul Feinbaum is brought to you by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. And he's, of course, the host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern on SEC Network and the ESPN app. Paul, how big of a hit did Jim Harbaugh take? And even like using expressions like that right now.
You think that's a hit? I don't think it was. I mean, he beat Ohio State.
Yeah. by losing to TCU?
Well, it didn't stop the speculation on the NFL side, but I think in terms of Jim Harbaugh as an elite college coach, he took some shots because his postseason record is abysmal, Max, and you can't ignore that. Saturday afternoon was his sixth straight loss at Michigan in postseason, and that includes the last two playoffs. And this was obviously a game that went down to the final moment, but most of those games have been blowouts. So he's still done a remarkable job. And as Jay said, beating Ohio State is really the most important thing. But losing to TCU, I think, will be hard to get over. It won't be as difficult if he leaves. And I know that's another question, but it does mar the season, though. This was a Michigan team that had a inside route to the national championship game, and they blew it.
So when you look at it, Paul, Ryan Day get a second bite at the apple, right, and loses to Michigan, but he gets the back door in because my USC Trojans obviously helped him out. But who looks worse, though, in this situation? Is it Jim Harbaugh, although Jim has beaten Ryan Day two consecutive times, or is it Ryan Day because he can't seem to get to that place where Urban Meyer was?
Yeah, I thought Ryan Day redeemed himself to the point where he didn't get blown out, which would have been cataclysmic. Mm-hmm. He won that part of the battle, but this is now the second time, Keyshawn, that he has blown a CFP semifinal game. Remember, 3 years ago, he had that big lead over Clemson. Should have won the game, and they crushed it. They caved in the final quarter, and I think that's the hard part. He coached a nearly brilliant game, and quite frankly, the best call he made was a fake punt, except the guy on the other side, Kirby Smart, made a better call by sensing it, seeing that there was not only 12 men on the field, which the officials were not calling, but the different formation. And that one moment saved the game for Georgia and got them back on a roll. But I think it's a moot point whether he got in the playoffs. He played it. They played well. But this is not Urban Meyer any longer at Ohio State. This is a guy who can get you there most of the time but can't get past that game. And quite frankly, this is not the same Ohio State program. I mean, this team was built. You know football better than all of us. And C.J. Stroud played one of the games of his career. Marvin Harrison Jr. in the first half was brilliant, and then he got knocked out of the game. Would it have been different? Of course, well, those are things that people still always talk about. But he wasn't in the game at the end, and Ohio State lost.
Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Paul, you know, I've been reading a couple articles talking about the potential legacy of Kirby Smart if they get back-to-back, you know, national championships. But what do we think about this matchup? Because whenever I start reading stuff like that, I'm like, okay, TCU, these guys are slingers out here, man. Like, they can make stuff happen.
I understand that, Jay, but I think Georgia had its moment. This is a program that has only been tested one time the whole season. When they were on the road at Missouri, of all places. And you could just feel it in Atlanta Friday, Saturday, that this was going to be a different type of game because of the talent. I don't think Monday night will be that. I'm not sitting here this late in the night and this TCU. Everyone knows it's been a remarkable story. But I just don't think from a matchup standpoint this game will be close. I think Georgia has some issues that got exposed in its last two games, and it doesn't play well if you look at Duggan on the other side. But to me, Jalen Carter, who really was a no-show most of the game, who I think is the best defensive player in the country, I think will once again be a factor in this game. And I'll be shocked if Georgia doesn't run away with it.
If Georgia wins this game, Paul, and Kirby Smart wins his second national title, now the legacy part is whatever. But what does this do for him to start to kind of get into that Nick Saban sort of Dabo Sweeney conversation?
Well, it puts him right in there, and Dabo Sweeney has won two championships. And, you know, Nick Saban has seven, six at Alabama. And to me, that's the biggest part of this is, where I live, Keyshawn, Bama fans call in every day and talk about how can you dare say the dynasty window is closing? Well, let me make this point. If we're talking a week from today and Kirby Smart has won two straight, and remember he lost in a national championship game in 2017, then you can't tell me that the Alabama dynasty is still running on all cylinders when they have won 1 in 5 years and Kirby Smart has gone back to back. So it changes the dynamics. It's a paradigm shift. And I think it's one that really becomes critically important as we examine Nick Saban. I think it's foolish to say Nick Saban is done. He'll finish number 5 in the country. He went 11-2. He had the best recruiting class in the country. But he's no longer battling Dabo Sweeney or Urban Meyer from a couple of years ago or other people. He's got to battle his own disciple in the same league. And that won't be as challenging with a 12-team playoff because everyone will start getting you won't have to win the SEC to get in the playoffs. But perceptively, I think it could be a real issue. And Kirby Smart's 48 years old. This is unique when you consider what he's doing. And I know Dabo did it a couple of years ago and couldn't sustain it. The three of us probably could win a couple of championships with Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence as our quarterback.
Paul, is you know Kirby, I don't know him nearly as well as you do. Is he a lifer? Is he a college football lifer? Or is there some NFL in the near future?
I think there's some NFL in the near future, Keyshawn. At some point, he's got to look at it. Everybody at this level is making the $11 or $12 million. That's no longer the motivating factor. He wanted to prove that he was something more than Nick Saban's top assistant. He will do that with another. He's already done that, but he'll do it again. And as much of a grinder as he is, he is one of those guys that never looks up. I could see somebody in the NFL, the right situation coming to him. And I'm not saying the NFL is easy. We all know it's excruciating. We watch that in real time and are. But I think the life of an NFL head coach is better than the life of a college head coach.
That is Paul Feinbaum, ladies and gentlemen, of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Always great to talk to you, Paul.
All right, Paulie.
Thanks,
right,
guys.
Paul. Yeah,
it is
better than the college because you got to chase guys like Jay around with a lot of money to get them to commit, you know?
Yep. Or you can steal them off other people's rosters. You know, that happens too.
Nowadays, yeah. Yes, we are very good at it.
Hey, guys, even with them being on their third starting quarterback of the season, are the San Francisco 49ers the best team in the NFC?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. ESPNU from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Sirius XM Channel 80 and the ESPN app were presented by Progressive Insurance. So, Jay.
So, Max.
For those who have not been paying, you know, first half of the NFL season, sometimes people aren't paying super close attention to the NBA.
But no, Max, this is what I've been paying attention to.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Listen, it's the only game in town, the NBA, for a good part of the year, but, you know, the meaningful games in the second half of the season. So while people aren't paying as close attention as they will shortly, we rely on you to tell us what we need to be paying attention to.
Well, this is just what my biggest takeaways over the last 2 weeks, all sports here that have gone on, and how I see it. So we'll just kick things off. First off, just want to do this. Big shout out to DeMar Hamlin and his family. We're praying for you because that's the biggest thing. We always should lead with that. We wish him a speedy recovery. We hope cognitively he comes out of this thing and he's able to play football again at the highest level. That is first and foremost. Second up, I'm just going to go ahead and say this because they were supposed to play and they were playing. But the Bengals low-key, I know we're going to talk about the Bills. I know we're going to talk about the Chiefs. I know we're going to talk about the 49ers. But low-key, the Bengals have won 7 games in a row. And I've often said this. Teams that are hitting their stride down the stretch going into the playoffs with a guy that just has all the confidence in the world and can throw outside the numbers probably better than any other quarterback in the league other than Patrick Mahomes, it's Joe Burrow, man. It's Joe Burrow and what they got going on there. So we got guys like Boyd, we got guys like, you know, their wide receiving core, Higgins. They are off the charts, and they might low-key be in the Super Bowl when it's all said and done. So I just want to give a shout-out to the Bengals because that's one of my biggest takeaways about what's about to come. Next up, man, I will tell you, what's happening in the NBA is just so crazy right now. And the fact that we're not talking about it, we're going to start talking about it. If that's LeBron James having 47 points against the Atlanta Hawks, right, without Anthony Davis really taking his team at the age of 38 and putting it on his shoulders. 43 points he had at Charlotte the other night, right? Like at 38 years old, just turned 38, 43 points. Still playing on numbers like that. If it's what we've seen Giannis do last night, 55 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. I mean, career high for Giannis in points, considering we saw him win a championship 2 years ago. And what Luka is doing to the league is just off the charts. I mean, Donovan Mitchell at 71, I know he showed him up to a degree. Showed up Devin Booker when they played against the Phoenix Suns, which is another count by Donovan Mitchell. But like, Luka is on a tear by himself. Would love to see him actually get the MVP. Like, the odds have had him favored every year, feels like, for the past 3 years for what he's doing. But the game of basketball is Luka Doncic moving forward. Come on, man. And the clip that people are scoring at right now at an all-time high level. Can't wait until we see more and more of this as the season continues. And last but not least, you know, I picked the Max. I know that you rolled with the Ravens to win the Super Bowl. You're going to stick with that pick. Great pick by you. Even with Jimmy G out, I love what I'm seeing by the 49ers, man. Look, CMC and I have talked a couple of times. It blows me away with the character, but also just the swag in which he plays. And that pickup by this team and Shanahan, it's such a different dimension to them offensively. Defensively, we know what they bring to the table. And Brock Purdy just being consistent, we might be talking about him being the true starter for this team moving forward next year, even with Trey Lance and company on the roster. They are still my pick to win the Super Bowl when it's all said and done.
McCaffrey just gives them an extra dimension different, they haven't man. Had in recent years. Jay, and also at some point we got to get into what is going on in the NBA where guys are putting up these, like, it seems like the primary ball handler now is capable of giving you a 50-point triple-double on any given night. You know, it's like crazy what's going on. But what do you think about the Niners, Key?
Well, I said it the whole time. Looks the same to me.
Looks the same,
yeah. Nothing's changed with Brock Purdy.
If anything, a little better.
Man, a little bit better.
A little bit better, I got to be honest.
I mean, yeah, he made one mistake here, you know, but for the most part, when they got Christian McCaffrey, they're complete. Everything just changed. They're a different team, and I know Deebo Samuel's got to get back in the lineup and get healthy. when they add him to the mix, they're going to be even better. And it's almost like they don't even really need him because they got McCaffrey. McCaffrey kind of does some of the same stuff. And the defense is on fire. Really good team, man.
Yeah, Debo is the best wideout who's also a running back. And McCaffrey's the best running back who's also a wideout. Like, the difference is the Niners have been winning a certain same kind of way in recent years, and now they just added an unanswerable playmaker.
So I'll say this. I know that the Eagles, if they lose to the Giants, then you talk about the 49ers getting the number one overall seed, right?
Yep.
But out of the three teams vying for a number one seed, the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Niners, for some reason, regardless of whether they have home field advantage or not, I don't worry about the 49ers.
Agreed.
Where I feel like as the Eagles, they need that. And I feel like for Dallas, it would be extremely beneficial for them to have that.
Yeah, but Dallas, it would be great to have home field advantage. I don't think they need it because they can run the football as well, and they got a solid defense, and they can pin their ears back. Philly definitely needs it out of any of the three, but if the Niners got it, they can punch their ticket.
I agree, but I'm just saying, Key, rank the teams that need home field advantage more than anybody else.
Philly is one.
We think that about Philly because we haven't seen Hurts in the playoffs, as this version of himself.
Yeah, but I've seen him on the road. I've seen him on the road.
Who's number two?
That's enough for me. Two would be Dallas.
Yeah, and then
the Niners.
Yeah, so we agree
in terms of who needs it the most.
Yeah.
But McCaffrey's something different, though. He's just a patient runner. He put his foot in the ground. And once he does that, he picks his lane, knows how to follow his blocks, his acceleration, his hand. But what did you expect?
No,
I was talking to somebody Sunday as we was watching the game, and the dude was like, I didn't think he was that good at Carolina. I'm like, you weren't obviously watching football there, bro.
I know, Derrick Henry is a beast, and there are some others. But to me, if everyone's healthy, I like Saquon and McCaffrey because of not only the multidimensional in terms of the catching ability and all that stuff, but there's some dude you put your eyeballs on him, you're like, man, there's a little extra electricity there. There's a little extra boogie in there somewhere, man. Like McCaffrey, he's just going to get his. He will get his.
And the crazy thing about it is he's staying healthy for the Niners.
Yep. For the Niners, yeah. So anyway, listen, yesterday's show was dedicated exclusively to coverage of Damar Hamlin, we want to be sensitive to that, and he's never far from our thoughts. There are other topics, obviously, that get introduced as time goes on, but we are absolutely keeping our eye on what's going on with Hamlin, and we'll let you know as soon as we do. His uncle has given a statement recently, and his oxygen levels have been improving, so hopefully we continue to get good news. And that's what we're going to be discussing coming up in the 9 o'clock hour in a matter of moments, the latest on Damar Hamlin. As I said, hopefully everyone's very anxious to know. Dan Graziano was on the show yesterday saying he's not working his contacts as he normally would, not because we don't want to know, but because you want to be sensitive about the family's privacy. And respectful of the family. And yet people really with very good intentions want to know that he's going to be okay.
Yeah. It's a tough situation. I mean, we'll dig into it more in the next hour, but you just continue to pray that everything will be okay for him.
I'm very encouraged even just by, listen, I understand a lot can happen. He's not out of the woods, but even every little piece of good news, like his oxygen levels are improving, you hang on to it.
Hearing his uncle talk about the fact that he was resuscitated two times.
Yeah, well, it's just, I mean,
not once, once on the field and then another once he got to the ER is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, so we're going to be getting into that in a matter of moments. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN Yo, Sirius XM Channel 80, back after this.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.